back Twin Cities. Tom Osmond here on KLBB, Club 1220. For the next hour, we have a full show today, and it is with very sad news that a good friend of KLBB and to many listeners here in the metro area, Joyce Lamont, passed away a week ago tomorrow at age 98. And we have our first guest today, Howard Bikin, a WCCO veteran personality. Howard, are you with us?
I'm with you, Tom. I'm with you.
Howard, thank you.
Sad to hear about Joyce Lamont.
You know, it's hard to actually think about your show on CCO Radio without Joyce Lamont. From growing up listening to CCO Radio and listening to your show, she was always part of it.
Yeah, that's right, yes. She was a very important part and just a nice lady. And just Bob Brown of CCO some time ago sent me the newspaper article, the Star Tribune, about her. About Joyce Lamont, and then the memorial being held, what, yesterday?
Correct.
I see.
And Rob said there was over 120 people at the memorial yesterday. It was quite a outpouring of support and memories, and a lot of people, in fact, cooked a lot of recipes that Joyce had provided them over the years.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Howard, do you remember, Mr. Bikin, do you remember the first time you met Joyce?
Oh, no, I don't. It would be back in 1950s. Yeah, about 1955, or maybe when I joined the station in 1950-51.
And did you think when you guys first started working together it would be about a, 35-year marriage of working together in the morning show and in the afternoon show?
No, we certainly didn't, but that's what it turned out to be, and it was a great experience. She was just a good friend, a soft-spoken lady, and such a lady in every sense of the word.
I have to say, one of the favorite things, I read this in the Tribune article, and I remember this as being a younger person than I am now, when you played that stripper theme when she'd come in, because it was such an ironic choice of music for Joyce.
Yeah, because she was such a shy lady, and had the stripper music, and of course she'd express some exasperation and anger, that I would play that, but secretly I think she enjoyed it.
I have a little audio here. This is from your show from January 16th, 1967, and I just want to play a little bit of audio here. This is you and Joyce together.
Sweet locations of the Christmas CO Mobile X-Ray Unit of Hennepin County. It's going to be at the Robbins Center in Robbinsdale today at 21 East Hennepin tomorrow, 18 and a half Avenue in Central Northeast on Wednesday. That's Wednesday afternoon. 4th Avenue South and 38th Street Thursday afternoon. And in Hopkins at 9th and Excelsior Boulevard all day Friday. The hours today for free chest X-rays at the Robbins Center, 11 till 2 and 3 until 6. Residents of St. Paul in Ramsey County may get free chest X-rays any Wednesday or Thursday afternoon between the hours of 3 and 5:30 at Christmas Seal headquarters in St. Paul at Dale and Portland.
It's like she's right here with us giving us the announcements for the weekend.
Yeah, she had a little girl's voice there. Was that a tape playing a little bit fast?
A little bit. This was I actually got this from the Paddock Museum's website. This was what they had found.
Yeah, very.
She became the voice of Dayton's musical chimes, the long-running Best Buys on the program. She worked with many of the best-known personalities in Minnesota broadcasting, including Bob DeHaven, Howard Bikin, and Jurgen Nash.
Yeah, I think Joyce and Bob DeHaven did it the longest, I think. But I think most of us, Jurgen and I, and I don't know if Ray Christensen did or not, but we all had some time in it because of the institution, Dayton's and CCO, and... Yes, we enjoyed it. But I think Joyce and Bob DeHaven did it the longest together.
It doesn't get much more Minnesotan or even Minneapolis-St. Paul than that. And just Joyce's speech and the things that we talk about. And it was a time a lot of us yearn for in history. And you really kind of started together with Joyce and others, kind of personality-driven radio, took a cue from Cedric Adams and brought your personality and things you thought were funny and kind of having a few different people in the studio and having more or less a little party in the studio. And I think that the audience really appreciated that.
I think the manager at the time then was Larry Haig Sr., who encouraged us to do that, to be more relaxed, be just a human being and tell corny jokes and things of that nature. I think he was the one who was responsible for the beginning of that, I think. Larry Haig.
Well, and you guys also eventually left CCO, and you ended up at the same station together, which would be KLBB, the station we're on right now.
Yeah, KLBB. Yes, they were very nice, and because we kind of missed it. And, there with Chuck Lilligren. Oh, is Chuck Lilligren? Are you talking with Chuck Lilligren today, do you know?
Not today, but we have Bob Brown and we have Dick Chapman on today.
Well, that's great. That's great. Oh, Dick Chapman. He's back, eh?
He is back. We're speaking to him today. And I actually have a picture here from the Tribune, Mr. Viking. It's you and Joyce and Chuck Lilligren at the KLDB studios. You know, at a time when many people would be looking to retire, it looks like that you and Joyce found a second career at KLDB.
I guess we had, well, I was coming back up to Minneapolis and stay there for, Mary and I would, for a few months in the summer when my mother was still living. We'd leave our place down here in Naples and come up to Minneapolis for a few months. It was something to do, keep me out of trouble for an hour a day. And we enjoyed KLBB. Have you heard from Ray Christensen?
You know, I personally have not, but I'm certainly, there's a lot of people I know that we tried to get a hold of for the show. I know that Reed Hagen is doing a show on Monday at 10 o'clock, and I'm not sure if he's someone that he's going to be speaking to, but we have our tribute show today and then Reed Hagen's show on KLDB Monday at 10 o'clock. A lot of people have a lot of memories, and it's one of those great stories that everyone has a great story about Joyce. You know, sometimes you have everyone kind of sometimes has a dark period or a time where, but no, Joyce. Everything about Joyce was really just quality. We miss her voice. We miss her recipes. According to the article here, this is a quote from you. Known for recipes, said Viking, who had Lamont appear regularly on his WCCO morning show. She ate recipes in special events and sent recipes to listeners who requested them. More than 300 of her recipes were featured in the cookbook, Joyce Lamont's Favorite Minnesota Recipes, and Radio Memories by home economist Linda Larson.
Yes, yes.
We had a little controversy here, Mr. Viking, that there was the New York Times did a story in what every state's signature Thanksgiving food was. In Minnesota was grape salad, and people were outraged that grape salad was it. And, of course, the author said, well, Joyce Lamont had this recipe in her cookbook for grape salad.
Yeah.
So it was validated.
I guess so, yeah. I read that, too.
So did you, I've asked you, did you enjoy some of Joyce's cooking? I imagine Joyce brought some good things into the studio occasionally.
She'd bring in some cookies once in a while, yes. Yes, very, very much.
Well, I know that I know you miss her. I know that you miss hearing her voice. I know that in the last couple of years, it's not been easy to talk. You know, she's not been accessible. She retired from KLDB in 2003. You know, she worked in radio until her late 80s and still did appearances.
I was surprised to hear that she was 98. You see, I'm only 90.
I had
no idea she was that much my senior.
And see, I imagine you guys as being still about, you know, as a kid, everyone over the age of 30 is an adult, so I picture you guys somewhere between the age 30 and 40. You know, I don't picture anyone being this old. And how is life for you, Howard? How are things in Florida?
Oh, pretty good. The weather's perfect down here and all. Say, are you talking with Boone and Erickson?
We're working on trying to get them. I know Charlie Boone did some media this week, and we're working on that. I'm not sure. I think everyone's pressed for time now because unfortunately Joyce passed away, and a lot of people are looking for a lot of different quotes and messages.
Yeah.
We'll get them on the show soon.
Yeah, they were the greatest team in radio. You're following Amos and Andy, but they were just tremendous. And Ray Christensen was such a modest guy. And no, I don't know how we found out, but Ray Christensen was awarded the Bronze Star while he was part of General Patton's army in Germany.
Well, it goes to a generation. You probably agree. And you were in World War II. You were in Iwo Jima, correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I think it's just a generation that, you know, that generation didn't boast a lot of their accomplishments. And I think that, for example, even in radio, you guys were becoming a legendary radio station probably just by doing your job. You probably didn't...
You forgot about the war because you come home and you get married and raise a family and try to make a living from CCO radio. And we enjoyed that very much. We made a very good living from CCO.
And you're a Brown College graduate, correct?
Yeah, right. R. Castle Brown and his wife Helen started it and developed into some institute.
When you met Joyce, she wasn't on the air, was she? Was she doing writing promotions and bits, correct?
I think so. But soon after then, Larry Hague Sr., the general manager, heard her and heard her doing something and encouraged her to go on the air and almost told her that she had to. And, of course, she was a winner from the word go then.
Let's hear one more. Let's have more audio from Joyce here, Kyle. I'm going to play a little bit more of Joyce Lamont here.
14 minutes on delay.
The Twin Cities temperature, 71.
Today marks the 20th anniversary of the Farmers and Merchants Bank of Watertown, South Dakota. Heartiest congratulations from the First Bank of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And don't forget, next Monday and Tuesday, August 8th and 9th, the Minnesota Garden Flower Society will hold its show in the main banking room of the First National Bank of St. Paul. Admission is free to the public, and it's open on Monday from 12 noon until 8 p.m., and on Tuesday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. McGuire Sisters, latest.
A little scratchy. Some of those audio tapes from 50 years ago aren't too clear. So well, that's a little scratchy, but you can go to radiotapes.com to listen to that.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Well, thank you very much. Tom, I enjoyed talking with you. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but we're going to miss Joyce Lamont, and it was nice of you to remember her.
Howard Viken, CCO personality, veteran WCCO and KLDB. Howard, I'd love to have you on the show again. Let's make that happen, shall we?
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Kyle, thank you, Howard. Bye. Let's go to commercial break. Kyle, we'll come back. We have Rob Brown on WCCO, AM radio, to talk about more about Joyce Lamont and her legacy in life here on Flashback Twin Cities on KLDB.
This is Grant from the Tavern on Grand. They say if you're going to serve walleye to Minnesotans, it's got to be good. That's why the Tavern on Grand is sometimes called Minnesota State Restaurant. We serve Minnesota State fish, the walleye. Tavern on Grand in St. Paul has made an art form out of walleye. Delicious, tender, flaky walleye that's offered in a variety of ways. Any way you order your walleye at the Tavern on Grand, it's guaranteed to be great. See for yourself why folks come back time and time again for the walleye and all the other tasty treats. For the Tavern on Grand, St. Paul at 656 Grand Avenue. Just half a block west of Dale Street.
Find out why more people come here to River Valley Ford.
Your truck headquarters in the St. Croix Valley is River Valley Ford in Baldwin. It's a great time to buy a new F-Series truck, and Ford Motor Company has made the deals too good to ignore. Outstanding factory rebates and incredible lease options mean you could be driving a new Ford truck today. Our inventory of new trucks has never been better, so stop and see us today. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and neighbors choose River Valley Ford in Baldwin.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
That is the sound of your vehicle on its last leg, which makes now the perfect time to visit CarsHQ.com. At CarsHQ.com, you can easily search from thousands of vehicles, including local dealer inventory, all on one easy-to-navigate site. No more driving from dealer to dealer, negotiating at every stop. And if you have a vehicle to sell, no problem. CarsHQ.com can do that too. See site for details. Visit CarsHQ.com today for haggle-free shopping, the best selection, and the very best price.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond on KLDB, Club 1220. Continuing our tribute to Joyce Lamont, WCCO, and KLDB radio personality. And do we have our next guest on the line?
We do.
Rob Brown, welcome to Flashback Twin Cities.
Thank you, sir.
And just so I get your title right, you were at WCCO AM for quite a bit of time, and your title was?
A long one. I had a long business card from left to right. I was the Assistant Director of Audience Promotion, which means you had a long line of copy ran across my card. And if you think about it, what the heck could the Assistant Director of Audience Promotion do for a radio station that had 69% share of audience?
It's a good gig to be in.
Yeah, well, carrying coals to Newcastle, I think, is the line.
I think that, I tell you what, if I was going to go do sales for radio, I think I'd want to go one where there was 69% share of the audience. It's like selling for that or selling for Johnny Carson at the time. Probably wasn't, it was probably a good job. When they call you, it's things are going well.
When
You just had Howard on the air. I by the way, I hope I sound that good when I'm 90, because Howard sounded the same 40 years ago or 50 years ago, honestly. Howard, to give you an idea of one of the facts is we had the largest audience of any station in the CBS radio network coast to coast, and that was people, not pine trees and not cows, people. Right. Howard made a mistake one Veterans Day. And he said, you don't have to nickel the meters in Minneapolis or St. Paul today. And he was wrong. And as I understand it, both police departments called the radio station and said, some of our ticket guys are coming back with their books all spent because no one is putting nickels in the meter. Did you guys do something on air this morning? And they said, yeah, we think we made a slight mistake. So the cities both suspended ticketing for that day. So that's an idea of the dominance the station had. We felt, by the way, like we were more like a public utility than a commercial radio station. That may sound pretty heavy, but the truth is, and this may sound smug, but we felt we had a tremendous responsibility to the public. You remember the line from the FCC, you have to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And we really believed that. And this is the smuggest thing I imagine. We didn't really think very much of what the other stations were doing in town. So that gave us a terrible burden. We had to get the information out. We had to get the public service information, the news out.
But the other stations were following what you were doing and trying many different ways and formats to be able to emulate that, and they, for a long time, just didn't quite do it. It's such a, I mean, CCO radio in itself, and it's the good, if there's a fortunate thing about this topic right now, and again, it's very sad that this is the reason why we're talking about it, but, you know, CCO radio as a history, and I'm talking about, you know, the legend of CCO radio for many people that grew up here, that's what they listened to. Yeah. It is such an amazing story that a lot of people that had, you know, like Howard Viking, who had come back from World War II, done some broadcast training and came back and became legendary broadcasters by just doing their job. And let me
also pick up on something else that Howard mentioned. My boss, so to speak, was Larry Haig, the general manager who Howard just mentioned. And as a matter of fact, Larry's son, Larry Haig Jr., was at Joyce's service yesterday that so many people crowded into. It was quite wonderful. It only dawned on me years after I had worked with Larry Haig that his roots in society were in farming. He actually worked with Henry Wallace, then the Department of Agriculture head in Washington, and Larry proposed to Henry Wallace, as I remember the story, why are we sending out 27,000 letters a week to county agents? Why aren't we using radio to reach farmers and county agents? And here's something you have to remember. The most expensive time on radio in the 1940s was the nighttime with Amos and Andy and Jack Benny.
Right.
Morning was a giveaway on radio. It's the opposite of what it is now.
Right.
And Haig said, you know, radio stations don't know what to do in the early morning. Why don't we wire up our own network and yada, yada, yada. And the next thing that happened is Henry Wallace said, go ahead and build a studio, which Larry oversaw, as I understand it, this could be apocryphal, inside the Department of Agriculture, and created farm radio. And Larry went on to put together the National Association of Farm Broadcasters and become its first president. So his orientation was to people. Then he ran for the state legislature in Minnesota. By the way, he had worked on European relief aid after World War II, part of the Marshall Plan. So Larry's orientation was not to sales, it was to people.
Right.
And it was to programming. And he used to say to me when I wore my promotion hat, he'd say, your promotion's no good if the program's no good.
Right.
Now, a change came in broadcasting in those hinging years between the 60s and 70s. And I think I can say now, without getting hit too hard, that sales took over radio instead of programming running radio. Larry's theory was, create the best programming and the sales department will have a large audience to sell. But it was in that order.
And like any business, something works and you've got to find a way to... I think that people sometimes make short-sighted decisions in order to make more money out of it. The industry changes, and what sometimes gets left at the wayside is a product. I think.
Let me talk about Joyce.
Please.
I think Joyce's office was 7 feet by 7 feet. She could turn around. She had two desks and a space between them for her chair, and she could turn from one desk to the other. One was her telephone desk and her note-taking desk, and I think the other desk on the flip side of the office. And when I say 7 feet by 7 feet, I mean 7 feet. And there was some kind of a storage closet behind it. I don't know what was in that. But that's the way that we were working in the original 1938 CBS radio studios at CCO Radio.
Right.
And we had lots of little cubicles. We actually had a thing in the largest studio called the sponsor's booth, where the sponsor could sit and watch his radio show go on the air. But anyway, in that little 7x7 space, I think Joyce got, as you may have heard, 10,000 pieces of mail per year for her community events news. And I remember keenly, because I was in charge of the fishing opener and the pheasant opener and the deer opener and the duck opener, keep going. I had a glorious time putting those things together in communities in the appropriate areas for each of the hunting seasons. But Joyce and I worked rather intently a couple of years on just getting together the list of the hunters' pancake breakfast along the highway. And she got 200 letters on that topic alone that she and I, and mainly she, had to filter out what she wanted to get on the air. And then I would convert them into promotional copy for the guys on the air. But that was an example. And by the way, she was the mother hen of the radio station. She was, as someone said yesterday, the heart of the radio station. She was always up. She was always enthusiastic. As someone told me yesterday, in addition to the paper, she'd be carrying down the hall the 35 feet to the main air studio. She'd be carrying her purse and her scripts and her pencils and her glasses. And, you know, it was just a great scene. Larry Haig is the guy, as Howard said, who told the announcers, imagine you are talking only to one person. Don't say all you out there. And don't say over in St. Paul, because we are licensed to Minneapolis, St. Paul, even though the studios are in downtown Minneapolis. But that important thing, imagine you have only one listener listening to you and you are in conversation with that listener. It is not some grand audience you think you're reaching. And that was a big change in radio, because in the 40s, announcers used to stand up in tuxedos. 30s, announcers would stand up in tuxedos, full height with great microphones and these great music stands in front of them with their scripts in front of them. And it was all formal. Well, it went very informal in the 50s and 60s.
Well, radio is a very intimate experience. I think one of the things I find fascinating about radio is that it's a mind. It's a creativity of the mind. You are creating a product that has to be very, you know, without visual, the visual facets of TV. You're creating a one-on-one experience. You're with a friend.
I say it a different way. If you watch television, you can kind of sit there with your mouth hanging open.
Yeah.
When my family sat around the radio on Sunday afternoon outside New York City and had the cold turkey sandwiches from a great dinner, and the radio was on, and we were listening to a dramatic production. Again, it dawned on me years later. With radio, you have to supply the mental image of the visualization of what's going on.
Yeah.
And my father and my mother and my sister and I would sit around the radio. And it dawned on me years later, we would have four different visualizations of what that country road was at sundown or whatever the image was at the time. And it is still true to my way of thinking that when you listen to particularly a dramatic radio production, you really are bringing a lot to the action from your mind. And I think it's a sharper procedure than watching television, and I love television.
Let's listen to a little audio of Joyce. This is Joyce and Paul Stagg from 1986.
CCO land and enjoy ourselves, and let's find out what's going on with Joyce Lamont. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Paul. Let's start with the dog show. And this is a big one. It's the Minneapolis Kennel Club show, all-breed dog show and obedience trial, and it's tomorrow in the Minneapolis Auditorium. About 1,100 dogs have been entered in the show. It'll be a bench show, one of the few in the country, a bench show with all of the dogs on display from 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. General admission $4, $2 for children under 12 years of age. That's the Minneapolis Kennel Club Dog Show tomorrow, Minneapolis Auditorium starting at 8 in the morning. And the Twin Cities Obedience Training Club is having its 38th annual obedience trial today in Brooklyn Center, 903 in the Center High School, 65th and Humboldt Avenue South. No admission charge for that. The Landmark Center in St. Paul salutes the British Festival of Minnesota with a two-day British Fair.
It's like she's still with us.
She had to look at letters, flyers, banners, posters, ads, whatever was sent to her. And she was doing a massive job of editing down to just what you needed to hear. By the way, Paul is a member of our 830 Club, which is the alumni group from the radio station. And Paul is very active in broadcasting at famous KWLM in Wilmer. So Paul joins us every now and then for our get-togethers.
Yeah, Paul was a guest on our show about a year ago, but another voice which I could listen to all the time. I do enjoy Paul's voice, and he was the announcer of so many WCCO programs on TV and radio for, you know, a generation, really.
Joyce was, this is one way to think about it. We were all staggered by Joyce's age. We didn't realize it. And during the last week, it crept up a year about twice to 98. She was born nearly a century ago.
Right.
February 23rd, 1916. And I think that's a couple of years after the Wright brothers flew.
Right.
My dad was born earlier, and he had the observation that he had been born before flight and lived until after the moon landing. And I thought that was quite an accomplishment. Joyce was everything we've tried to say about her. She was the heartbeat of the radio station in many, many ways. Kidded the announcers, had a great sense of humor, kidded by the announcers, and she kidded them. One time she got a little hot under the collar with Howard for playing the blue light, the stripper music, and apparently she marched out of the studio. And he went on air live apologizing. And as I heard the story correctly from Charlie Boone yesterday at the memorial, Howard said on the air, "Charlie, will you go get Joyce and bring her back so she can do her community events news and tell her I'm sorry?" So,
think about it. Joyce was working in all, you know, really women personalities on radio were not prevalent, and she's working in an all men's club. She had to have taken. I'm guessing everyone is very respectful of CCO radio, but nonetheless, you're with a bunch of gentlemen, and sometimes the conversation can be a little bit, a little bit inappropriate sometimes. She must have been able to take all you guys in good stride.
She was in the back office when writing continuity and writing commercials. And again, as Howard said, Larry Higgs said, "You're going on the air." And that's another, I'm sure, to Higgs' advanced thinking, he was saying, "What's with us? There are a lot of women in the world. Why don't we have somebody in there who represents their side of things?" So,
yeah,
I'm so proud to have spent what I consider to be the peak of my professional career at CCO Radio and the things that I got involved in there. It was just a wonderful experience.
And you recall listening to Joyce before you ever worked with her, correct?
No, because I came here from out east, and I reported for work on August 6, 1962.
Okay.
And by the way, that means that I could date my knowing Joyce from that day, because I think somebody walked me around about three times during the day as the shifts changed. We had 85 people on the telephone directory at the radio station in those days. Now, some of them were EWZ Barth at the University of Minnesota or Murray Warmuth or Bernie Bierman, whose numbers were our thing. But one interesting thing, all the announcers hired at WCCO Radio had gone through and graduated from 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently was some kind of a demarcator in the broadcast world.
Well,
the newsmen were deeply experienced.
It shows from the product. And, you know, this was an era of radio that, you know, a lot of people came from, you know, covering the war. People had coming from the print industry. And radio, you know, personality-driven radio and even in TV were in their infancy. And
right.
I think that CCO Radio really kind of set what the nation's model is going to be for, creating a product and also for creating a profit in morning radio, which, as you said before, is really what it is now. I have to ask people one thing, though, about Joyce, though. Joyce left CCO Radio in 1989. That could not have been easy for her to leave after all those years.
That was not.
And she then eventually found a home at KLEB with Howard and a few others that had gone from CCO Radio. And she was with KLEB up until in her late 80s.
Right. Yeah, every now and then the management can make a mistake, you know.
Yeah, well,
It happens. By the way, Harry Reasoner came from World War II to work in the CCL radio newsroom.
That's right.
Harry Reasoner, CBS in 60 Minutes, a long time ago. There's photos of him in the newsroom. Last comment, maybe. Broadcast general managers and owners from around America would secretly come to Minneapolis, St. Paul, sit in a hotel room with a radio, and listen to us all day long. I mean, then they might give us a buzz and come on over and take some people out to dinner or something of that sort, but it's kind of like they wanted to come out and rub their hands on the radio tower out in Coon Rapids or figure out what our formula was. And the formula was very simple. It was act as if you're the only station on the air and you've got to get the public information out and have a bunch of informal people who like each other and respect each other on the air and off the air, by the way. That's the other point, off the air, and see what happens. And Boone and Erickson was born out of just that attitude. And one more point. Announcers were told, do not sign the radio station off the air when you end your shift. Don't say, I'll see you Monday. There's another person coming on the air after you. And, oh, by the way, we're on the air all weekend. That cross-hybrid is led to Charlie and Roger talking to each other across their change of their shifts. And that led to their grabbing the wire service copy called Today in History, which became their famous bit with all the funny voices that they would do describing what had happened that day in history. And that came out of, don't sign the station off. You're only dealing with one listener at a time. Be smart.
I want to make three announcements. First of all, those clips can be found at radiotapes.com, great website, the Paddock Museum of Broadcasting, museumofbroadcasting.org. Also, Reed Hagen, former of KLBB, will be hosting a tribute to Joyce Lamont at 10 o'clock here on KLBB 1220. That's 10 o'clock, Reed Hagen, KLBB. While I have you on the line, Rob, two things also. One thing you mentioned on our phone call earlier, you said you were at the service yesterday, and it was the largest number of people ever at the service, correct, or at the home?
Exactly. We were leaving slowly, and a bunch of us who know each other from the station were kind of hanging around where the coffee was, and I just had to leave, and I walked back out through the area where the service had been, and where there had been 125 chairs, and there was someone breaking down the chairs and tables, and she said that the senior staff had told her that this was the largest crowd ever for a memorial at the respected and revered Episcopal Homes on University Avenue at Fairview, that they put out 125 chairs and had about five empty. So
that's wonderful.
It just shows the connections. And so many people knew her from KLBB, and so many people knew her from CCL Radio. It was really wonderful. She deserved it. She deserved the outstanding coverage the Star Tribune gave her. Putting her on the front page blew me away. Then they repeat her picture on the front page of the Variety section. I'm sorry, the Twin Cities section.
Right.
And then there's the story, and as you mentioned, with the photo of Joyce and Howard and Chuck Willigan. It was just wonderful coverage.
I think all too often our history gets kind of swept in the back page sometimes, and these become footnotes when really these should really have more prominence and what part they were in our lives. And whether it be Boone and Erickson's show or Howard Beckin's show or Joyce Lamont, these are relationships that the audience has for years and years and years. They last longer than most marriages do sometimes. And
well, then,
I think it's very important for us to be able to remember that and pay tribute. And it's tough when they go away either off air or when they leave Earth like this.
Yep.
But Rob, I appreciate you being on the show today. I want to play one more commercial with you on the line. This is Joyce doing a commercial for the Oric vacuum. I want to play this while you're on the line here.
That great vacuum cleaner everyone is talking about and everyone is buying. And no wonder it's so popular. For one thing, it weighs only 8 pounds. So lightweight, you can actually hang it on the wall when you're not using it. And yet that powerful motor will pick up pet hair and sand and lint that ordinary cleaners miss. And another thing, the handle of the Oric XL upright vacuum folds down flat so you can clean under heavy furniture. You don't have to move that heavy bed or chest to clean under it. And the Oric adjusts to any surface automatically. Use it on flush carpeting, move to a shag rug, then to kitchen carpeting, then to bare floors. The Oric will clean every one of them perfectly and instantly. Why don't you plan on getting an Oric soon? It'll make those fall house cleaning chores so much easier. See an Oric dealer like the Park Vacuum in St. Louis Park, or if you don't know who your dealer is, just call his toll-free number for his name and address,
1-800-622-401.
That's credibility right there. I'm going to take recipes and vacuum advice from a place like that.
It's That's perfect, isn't it?
Rob, thank you so much for being with us today. Let's be in touch. We'll have you on the show again.
Thank you more.
Rob Brown of WCCO Radio. This is Flashback Twin Cities. We'll take a break and come back with Dick Chapman of WCCO AM.
As their menu says, life is uncertain. Best to eat dessert first. At Sail Away Cafe, their desserts are so unbelievably delicious, you'll want to start with dessert. Gooey butter cake, chocolate ganache cake, homemade cheesecake, or key lime pie, to name a few favorites. But save room for some delicious homemade soup, homemade pizza, or dinner of pasta Adriatica. You'll be glad you did. Sail Away Cafe is fine dining with a hometown feel. So gather up your friends and meet at the Sail Away Cafe in Afton for dessert, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or live music on the weekends. Destination, Sail Away Cafe. Fan Afton.
Club 1220 KLBB presents the Community Calendar. The public is invited to the annual Da Vinci Fest Art, Science, and Film Festival. It's this afternoon until 5 at Stillwater Area High School. St. Croix Valley Special Olympics will be having an all-you-can-eat breakfast fundraiser next Sunday, January 18th, at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Stillwater. Washington County Parks will be hosting a winter sing-along on Sunday at 4 at the Nordic Center in the Lake Elmo Park Reserve. Warm beverages will be provided. Vehicle permits are needed to enter the park. Art Reach St. Croix is having a creative writing class in Stillwater starting Tuesday, January 20th. For more information, contact Art Reach at 612-206-7889. If you have an item for KLBB's community calendar, you can send it to me, Jeff, at klbbradio.com.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osman, continuing our trip to Joyce Lamont, and I want to make an announcement, two things. There's going to be a tribute done by Reed Hagen, former KLBB. He'll be hosting a show at 10 a.m. on KLBB Radio from 10 to noon as a tribute to Joyce Lamont. Also, please go to museumofbroadcasting.org. Joyce Lamont was a charter member of the Broadcast Hall of Fame in 2001. There are several audio clips and a little video on Joyce Lamont. So if you want to go to museumofbroadcasting.org, again, museumofbroadcasting.org, you can listen to Joyce right there or at radiotapes.com. Do we have our next guest on? Our next guest is Dick Chapman, a former WCCO broadcaster. Dick, welcome to Flashback Twin Cities.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I apologize that we're not, we don't have you on in a happier time. However, I do find some of these audio clips and some of the stories of Joyce very happy. I know that it's been a kind of legend-laden show today, and you being here is a great honor for me, so thanks for being here. It's probably been a rough week for you.
Say again?
It's been a tough week for you, I imagine.
Well, yeah. Not the greatest.
No. You worked with Joyce for many years. Do you remember when you first met Joyce? Do you remember, you know, those early days of CCO Radio and working with her?
Yes, very much. She took care of everybody at the station. She was kind of, I don't know whether you call her a sister or a mother or an aunt or whatever, but she was prim and proper and made everybody... hang together.
Yeah, Charlie Boone called her the mother hen. She said she'd always remember birthdays, special events, and she had a warm, feminine spirit at the station. I had Rob Brown on just a few minutes ago, and I said that guessing working with a lot of men, and I'm sure you guys were all very very polite and esteemed, but you know, working with a lot of guys, sometimes you have to take some of that humor and take some of that, and I'm guessing Joyce took that in stride.
Oh, yeah. Howard Viking used to... introduce her with a Barney theme song from Stripper. He'd say something like, "And now, direct from an appearance in Des Moines, we have Joyce Lamont." And she'd come on and upbraid him for doing that. But she loved it. She loved it. And so did the listeners.
You know, that story, it's been told, I think, more times than any of the last couple of days talking about this. And I got to be honest with you, I remember hearing this as a kid, and I thought it was hilarious. I laughed out loud more than once hearing that. She was a lady. She was someone that we played a Oreck vacuum cleaner commercial just a minute ago, and her voice was so Minnesota. It's so credible, and I think that any recipe that I I got that any that Joyce had prepared or if she had endorsed a product, I would believe her.
Yeah, you know something? A lot of few people did not know that she kept a copious list of community events and broadcasting them on what she called her community calendar. She had everything from lutefisk dinners to high school plays to band concerts to tractor pulls, quilting bees. Didn't matter how small the town was, she had them all listed. And we had all those small and medium-sized towns listening all over CCO land, which, of course, didn't hurt WCCO Radio's listenership ratings.
Right. No, it's, I was just mentioning to you, I had Howard Viking on, then I had Rob Brown on. We get to know people, and and I'm sure you can recall, this, I'm sure you deal with this today still, and you meet people who listen to you, and they think they know you, and they think that you are personal friends because they listen to you in this very intimate relationship, which is radio, and you're in the car by yourself, and you hear someone speak to you, and Joyce, was great at talking about her recipes and talking about her events and things that were going on. You feel like you know someone, and then you see them in I will call it real life, in person, and you start talking to them as if that you're good friends and you know each other for 30 years. But
the truth of the matter is, when you stop and think about it, the best way to communicate is one person to another, one-on-one, okay? And if you're on the radio, you do the same thing, even though you're talking to a microphone and maybe thousands and thousands of listeners, you still have to talk as though you're talking to one person.
Right.
And that's what we worked hard at WCCO Radio, and it paid off for us. I can't tell you how many letters or phone calls or whatever that would say almost the same thing. I feel as though I know you. Well, they did know us because we weren't holding anything back. Getting back to Joyce Love, let me tell you something. Bobby Haven used to use it as kind of a great shield, too. I remember him doing winding up a seed corn commercial and then turning to Joyce and asking her what kind of crop yield she got from her corn planted in her window box.
Huh.
And she did have a window box.
Well, I'm picturing Joyce's house as being very, very neat, clean, smelling great, lots of fresh vegetables, and also lots of good food. That's my idea of Joyce's house. If it's not that way, I don't want to know it. But that's the way in my mind it is.
Exactly. She lived quite a while in a high rise right across the street from Nye's Polonaise Room.
Well,
which was one of her favorite hangouts.
You know, I regret not ever seeing Joyce there, but I'm hoping that when Joyce was there, she was, she was having a good time. Do you remember the last time you spoke to Joyce?
Say again?
Do you recall the last time you spoke to Joyce?
I don't. I don't recall it because, you see her in the hall every day and stop and talk or whatever. She was always around and one worthy woman.
No, that's the truth of the matter. And there's some great photographs here. And again, Joyce of CCO Radio and then KLBB Radio. Dick, you and Joyce and Howard Viking and others, you were part of a lot of a large span of generational listeners at CCO Radio from the early days of, TV and radio kind of coexisting to, the internet coexisting with radio. So you've, experienced a lot, and we experienced a lot through you, and it's great to have you on. It's great to be able to get your insight on Joyce. What's the one thing you'll miss most of Joyce now that she's not with us?
Well, I hope she's in spirit still with us.
She is. And you know what? When we play audio clips of her, it's like she's with us still. So, Dick Chapman of CCO Radio, thank you so much for being on Flashback Twin Cities today. Let's do it again sometime.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dick Chapman of CCO Radio. Kyle, we have a caller. And caller, are you on? Almost. Hello, KLBB.
Yeah, this is Larry Jago.
Larry, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being part of our tribute to Joyce.
Listen, I'll tell you, Joyce Lamont was so great. I was hired in 1959 as the first sports producer at WCCO Radio. And those were the days when we put together the original Minnesota Twins Broadcast Network, the Minnesota Vikings Broadcast Network, and Joyce Lamont was just, her office was just a little bit around the corner from mine. And every single day after those games, I'd come into the studio or into the office, And Joyce would come by and say, what was the most exciting part about the game last night? Hey, they won, didn't they? Because she was there at 7:30 in the morning doing the first banknotes show with Bob DeHaven. And they were going over some things, but she always took time to find out what happened to her favorite Minnesota Twins during that night before. And as producer there, I knew my first responsibility was to report back to Joyce about how the game turned out the night before.
That's fantastic. I also read also here she organized the WCCO football pool and collected the bets, according to her former colleagues.
Yes, absolutely. She did. She not only ran the football pool and was very much involved in that. The other big thing that I really enjoyed about Joyce Lamont is that Joyce Lamont, Bob DeHaven, and myself, and a couple others, Judy Lebedoff, who was another producer who was at WCCO, we were the Christmas party chair people, and we ran that party, and Joyce always said, I wonder who we have to provide rides home this year. You know, they used to have some pretty big parties in those days as opposed to what they do today.
You know, I'm just I'm picturing kind of the era of, you know, the regulations are a little lighter, you know, as far as, you know, I've seen and heard some stories that, you know, maybe the statute of limitations have worn out, we can tell them now, but I can only imagine in that era that people used to have a good time. And when you're selling, I had Rob Brown on, when you're selling radio for a station that has 69% of the share of the audience in Metro, there's a lot of cause for celebration.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. And everybody took great pride in those ratings. Those ads that ran in national broadcast and media publications of 69% of the audience, everybody who was involved in that radio station really were so happy about those ratings. It was the kind of thing, you might have had 20 people on the air. There were like 80 people who worked at the radio station. Everybody was a part of that rating, no matter what you did. I remember some of the janitors that night, and they'd say, hey, what are the ratings going to be this week? You know, everybody wanted to be involved in that rating thing.
It's a bygone era, but I can imagine that it was just a fulfilling and thrilling time to be in radio.
It was a great time to be there, and so much fun, and we miss Joyce. We wish that we could be together again, but we will all day, somewhere, somehow. And so we say, Godspeed, good luck, Joyce.
Well, play with us. I have you on the line. Let's play. Would you mind? I have some more Joyce audio. Let's hear some more from Joyce's voice.
Sure, let's do that. Yeah.
All right. Kyle, this is from 1989.
Hey, on the Boone Erickson Show, Joyce and Howard are here. And in just a moment, the very important presentation. First, I want to talk about one of Joyce's favorite sponsors.
Yes, has to be one of your all-time great sponsors on CCO Radio, Oric.
Or it's vacuum my cleaners, favorite, absolutely.
Celebrating their 25th anniversary this year.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I believe, Joyce, that you started. You were the first one to do an Oric commercial.
I was the first one to do an Oric, I think, anywhere, nationally.
And it has mm-hmm. just become a tremendous success through CCO Radio. How long has that been?
I would guess about 10 years,
yeah.
Maybe a little bit less. But yeah,
they're celebrating 25 years. We've been celebrating 10 talking about them.
And by the way, those of you who have some of those original Orics, you're still using them because they're so great.
Exactly.
But now the new...
I don't know why I'm so fascinated hearing about Oric vacuum cleaners, but when Boone and Erickson and Joyce Lamont talk about it, I'm now tuned in, and now I want to know about an Oric vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, right. And you know what? You probably will go out and buy one, right?
I'm going to call Park Furniture right now if they're still open.
Right. The thing is, right, Boone and Erickson and I were all hired in the same year, and they just were great and still are great. You know, we get together at our company retirement club. We have as good a time at that retirement club for a luncheon than we had during those days when we were all on the air there at WCCO Radio.
Well, they're not to embarrass you, but listening to, you know, Howard's voice and your voice today, and Dick Chapman, and then hearing Joyce even from some clips from, and the clips from Joyce range from the 50s to the 80s to the 2000s, and I love familiar voices, and the voices are so great, and it just gives you it gives me at least as a listener and fan, just a very comforting feeling to hear everyone's voice, and hearing Boone Erickson talk with Joyce Lamont about Oric vacuum cleaners, you feel at peace hearing those guys talk about that.
Yeah, you do, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I love listening to the old music there at KLBB. And as a matter of fact, I've even been tempted to maybe sometime give a call down there. I'd like to spin some records down there for you.
Well, tell you what, give a call. And we'd love to have you on the show on Flashback Fun Cities. I'm sure you have a lot of great stories from the era. So I'm going to give Kyle your number. I'm going to let you give Kyle your number. I'm going to give you a call back, and let's have you on the show. We'll do a whole show about your time at CCO Radio.
Hey, listen, that sounds wonderful. Would appreciate doing that. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Larry Jekyll of WCCO Radio, Joyce Lamont. Kyle, let's play one more Joyce Lamont bit. Actually, Kyle, do you want to get his information?
Consider her the link to the radio station. She shared recipes with them, talked about their community event.
Right. On your Sunday Prelude show. I hope our listeners are aware of that. Joyce is here at 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings with Sunday Prelude. I sang along with, I think, just about every one of them this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like the show. Thank you.
And it's going to be a perfect day in the Twin Cities, so do we have a bunch of things to do?
Yes, we have breakfasts and dinners and lots of concerts. Let's start with the breakfasts that are being served this morning in Minnesota. There's one in Chanhassen, the American Legion Post. They'll be serving from 9 until 1 o'clock. And then in St. Louis Park, the Paul Revere Lodge at 6509 Walker Street, serving from 8 to 1. In West St. Paul, St. Michael's Church, 335 East Hurley, serving breakfast now until 1 o'clock. And in Farmington, at the Masonic Temple, 326 3rd Street, serving 8 to 1. In St. Paul, the Montgomery Lodge is serving breakfast now until 12:30. That's 1100 Payne Avenue. And in Minneapolis, at the Lucky Levin Hall, 165 13th Avenue.
Joyce Lamont, Twin Cities Radio personality, passed away 98. Week ago tomorrow. Services were held yesterday. There'll be a show hosted by Reed Hagen at 10 o'clock on KLBB called 1220 on Monday at 10 a.m., 10 to noon. Reed Hagen discussing Joyce Lamont, a tribute to Joyce Lamont, friend of Reed's, friend of KLBB. Also, Joyce audio can be found at radiotapes.com. That's one word, radiotapes.com. Also, museumofbroadcasting.org. That's the Paddock Museum of Broadcasting. According to the article in the Star Tribune, the memorials were referred to the Museum of Broadcasting, the Paddock Museum. She was a charter inductee in 2001 and will be much missed. So fortunate here in this metro area to have had Joyce Lamont part of our lives. This is Flashback Twin Cities. We'll be back next Saturday here on KLBB Club 1220. Listen to Reed's show 10 o'clock on Monday on Joyce Lamont.
This is where your music and memories live. Club 1220.
KLBB.
Stillwater, Minneapolis, St. Paul.